Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to Defined by Moments. And I know it's been several weeks since I have done one of these podcast episodes, and just needed to take some time away to be able to refocus and get some things accomplished to come back to do some of these recordings. The amount of preparation that goes in prior to doing these does take some significant time. So we're going to get right back into it by turning to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 is where we left off in this Proverbs for Leaders series. And I want to specifically get right to verse 17. Before we go any further, I need to stop. You know, this is one of the amazing things to me, that when you read and you study God's Word, there are passages of Scripture that you will cover multiple times. You will go through them, but every single time the Lord teaches you something different. And this is what's happened to me here in this chapter. You know, I have read Proverbs, I don't know how many times. Because, you know, one of the things that, you know, someone will tell you is, if you need a plan in order to read your Bible, one of the easiest ways to do that is to read a chapter of Proverbs that correspond with the day of the month that you're in. Because 31 chapters in Proverbs, it works perfectly for a month that has 31 days, so you can always stay on track. I know I've done that many, many times. But even despite the fact that I've read Proverbs so many times, what we're going to get into today, and really over the next four episodes, is something that I have never learned until now. So let's go ahead and look. We're going to read verses 17 to 21, and you'll see why in just a minute. Solomon in writing says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge, to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you?" Now, this is what gets me. Again, I have read this passage so many times, but verses 20 and 21. Solomon says that he has written 30 sayings, but in all my years of reading the Bible, in all my years of reading through Proverbs, I have never stopped to go through and figure out what are those 30 sayings. That's what we're going to cover over the next several episodes. But this section here, 17 to 21, really is an introduction that Solomon leads into those 30 sayings. And there are three phrases here in verse 17 that we need to look at. The first phrase is incline your ear. The way that I would want you to remember those three words is this: listen. Solomon is saying, draw close to me. Bend over to get that ear closer to me so that you can hear. He's saying, listen to me. The second phrase is hear the words. So this aspect of hearing, I would want you to make sure that you use this to learn. So we have to listen first, and then we learn. This aspect of learning is a discernment, the ability to comprehend the concepts, the thoughts, and the skills that are being transmitted to you. So we've got to listen first. Secondly, we have to learn. And third, the phrase I want you to look at is apply your heart. So we've got to listen, learn, and then the most important part of this is that we live. The term here means to set the pattern. It's to place or to set. Now, why is that important for us? Well, I always love to go back and find the first mention of this kind of a term in the Bible to see how it's used. The first reference of this word that we see here translated apply is back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. That is a very familiar verse, because this is God talking to Adam and Eve after they have sinned. And notice what he says. God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We know that this is talking about, you know, a foreshadowing of Christ, how Christ will come from the line of Adam. But he would be a second Adam, and he would crush Satan. He would not lose. He would not fall to temptation. But the word is where God says, I will put. I will set in place. I will establish. So Solomon is telling his son, as he is going through here, make sure you listen to what I've got to say. Learn from my words, but most importantly, I want you to live them. Why? Why is that important? Verse 19, the opening phrase says, that your trust may be in the Lord. Look at the opening phrase of verse 21, to make you know what is right and true. The ultimate purpose that Solomon is taking the time to record these 30 sayings for him is so that he would put his trust in the Lord, that his confidence, his security, his hope, his everything would be placed in the Lord's hands. Again, we go back to verse 21 where it talks about truth. It is something that is settled. It's not disputed. It is established. So we see very clearly in this opening introduction that Solomon lays out that purpose and he pulls zero punches. You need to listen to me. You need to learn from me. You need to live these things. Why? Because you will have a life that is settled by putting your trust in the Lord. If you do that first, then the rest of these things that he's going to talk about, that's where the application hits in the life. So we're going to start these first of the 30. And the way that I'm going to do this, we're only going to cover six this time. Then what we will do in our next episode, we will cover 7 through 14, then the next one 15 to 22, and then finally we will cover 23 through 30. So we're taking these a little bit of piece by piece, but I want if you're taking notes, I want you to go ahead and write this down. Saying number 1 is verses 22 and 23. Saying number 2 is verses 24 and 25. Number 3 is verses 26 and 27. Number 4 is 28. Saying number 5 is verse 29. And then saying number 6 is chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. So let's look at this first wise saying. Now, the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to give you my summary of it, then we're going to read the scripture. So my summary is this: have the right attitude and action toward the lowest of the status people. So think about that. You need to have the right attitude. You need to have the right action to those that are of the lowest status in your culture. Verse 22 and 23 says, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. Now, culturally speaking, this phrasing of at the gate doesn't make sense to us. But in the Hebrew culture that they would have existed in, the gate would be the place of business. This is where your elders would have been, that if you needed a decision and you couldn't come to a decision between you and a neighbor, you would go to the gate. And those elders would then participate in making those decisions. So this appears to offer some legal language, but ultimately the implication isn't legal. It's personal, and it's to you and I, and it says you need to have the right attitude and the right action to other people. Just because you can take advantage of the poor does not mean that you should. That is critical for us to understand. So that's the first wise saying that Solomon has. Number two, Solomon tells his son, avoid the angry to avoid adopting their ways. Look at verses 24 and 25. He says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Now, when he's speaking of friendship, this just is not some kind of a personal acquaintance. This is someone that you spend a lot of time with, that you bear your soul to, that you are always with. You know, there's a phrase like two peas in a pod. You're always with them. If you have that kind of a relationship with someone that's angry, you're going to learn their ways. The latter part of the verse, he just says, don't go with a wrathful man. If you're physically in their presence and they explode and they do something that is wrong, you could be implicated by the fact that you're simply there. Folks associate you with them. You're thinking, Joel, really? Yes. Think about Peter. Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three different times. And Peter said, there's no way I'll ever do that, Lord. And three different times he did. And what did they do? Hey, I've seen you with him. There's the association. No. Yes, you talk like him. There again is the association. So this is something that we know, but we often forget because we think, well, that person might be able to get us somewhere. No. Solomon is saying if you're wise, you're going to avoid those that are angry so that you're not associated with them and so you do not learn their ways. Number three, Solomon tells his son, beware of the unwise financial risk. Look at verses 26 and 27. He says, be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? The idea here is if you are putting up the security for this financial piece, literally it means that you're part of a braid. You know, you get mixed in that if parts of that other braid come apart, the stress comes to you. What Solomon is saying is, if a good friend pulls on your emotions and pulls on your heartstrings to get you to put up some money, don't do it unless you can cover it. Why? Because the latter part of this verse saying, why should your bed be taken from underneath you? Well, if he defaults and you can't cover it, then you lose what little you may have. We have to be careful. We have to be intentional with our financial doings. Number five. Verse 29. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Verse 4. I almost skipped one. Saying number 4 is in verse 28. Solomon says, do not remove the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. What does that really mean for us? There are folks that will take that and mean, well, monuments that have been put up, we need to leave. Well, not necessarily. What this is talking about is something else. The saying, the summary here is respect boundaries as they are there for a reason. This ancient landmark is not a monument to some historical past. What this is really referencing is property lines. So think about it in our modern culture. If you're going to buy a house, someone will come out and survey. They will drive stops in the ground. They will mark them with flagging tape. That's what this is. If you shift those boundaries, then what ends up happening is you're stealing from someone else. When we bought a house not too long ago, our surveyor came back and said, I have good news and bad news. He said, the good news is this is the layout of the lot. The bad news is this guy over here has put a fence on your property. It protrudes on it by about 3 inches. That'll be between you and them. You know, we could have made a major issue out of that, but we didn't. The ultimate issue, I believe, is that was a simple mistake, and there's really no financial penalty that we need to have that individual incur. But we have to respect the boundaries. Now, if that neighbor decided they wanted to come in and put a shed, and they were going to put it right in the middle of my backyard, well, that is completely different. So this aspect of the ancient landmarks, we need to respect the boundaries because they've been placed there for a reason. Guardrails are important. Boundaries are important. We shouldn't push them. We should respect them. Number five, look at verse 29. The saying here is very simple. A developed talent used diligently will bring a person their due. Let me say that again. A developed talent used diligently will bring someone their due. Verse 29 reads, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Those that do good work, those that put forth quality effort and produce quality results will be noticed by others. And they will be given the opportunity to do work for more important individuals. If you go back and you look in the Old Testament where, you know, the collection of things are being brought in to create the tabernacle while Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, you will see that Moses had two craftsmen that are named by name as those that would oversee the work. Why? Because they were skilled. They were diligent in their work, and people took notice, and the Lord said, Moses, go get them. Use them for this work. Number six, and the last one that we will take care of today, is in Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3. The statement, the summary is easy. Restrain your desires to prevent deception. Proverbs 23, 1 through 3 reads this way. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. My friends, the imagery here, it's graphic. At a feast, instead of sitting down and eating as much as you want, Solomon is saying, literally, put a knife to your throat. Now, this is not something that I do every day, but the imagery, if you're putting a knife to your throat, that means that someone else is controlling you. And typically, if someone has put a knife to your throat, they're demanding you give them something. You have been taken captive. So what Solomon is saying here is take yourself captive to avoid the thinking that, you know what, this is the life. This is what I need to work for so that I have all of these delicacies, so that I can have all of this being taken place. This is what life is all about. Solomon is saying, no, that is not the case. You need to focus on what is most important in these kinds of delicacies that are being dangled out here. That is not it. Where did Solomon pick this up? I believe he learned it from his father. If you turn over to Psalm 21, we could read the first four verses, but I'm not. Let's just look at verse 4. David says that, you know, speaking to the king, he asked life of you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Notice what the king did not ask for. The king did not ask for money. The king did not ask for stuff. The king did not ask for a reputation. The king wanted life. Because life matters more than things. We get caught up in this keeping up with the Joneses. $1 more is all that I need. But Solomon is saying, you have to stop that. You have to slow down. Because you need to understand what really is important. So as we look at these first six of the 30 sayings, notice, let's review them quickly. Number one, he says, have the right attitude and action toward the lowest of status. Number two, avoid the angry ones to prevent adopting their ways. Number three, beware of unwise financial risk. Number four, respect boundaries as they are there for a reason. Number five, this is probably my favorite. A developed talent used diligently brings a man their due. And then number six, restrain your desires to prevent deception. Now we are going to cycle back through this with each of these next several episodes, but I want to make sure that I leave you with this on every single episode as we look at these 30 sayings. The purpose is not for behavioral conformity. The purpose is character transformation. Because if you put your trust in the Lord, if you put your confidence, your security, your hope in Him, then all of these things will be a natural outcome. Much like Solomon says to his son, I'm going to say to you, listen to these sayings, learn from these sayings, but most importantly, live these sayings. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.